I'm just so grateful to be here with you today. Love you so much. So kind of the Lord to give us His grace to live in and the fullness. And I want to talk today about when love pierces through. How many of you have had Jesus Christ do something in your heart where His love comes piercing through? One of the reasons I think I love the Lord so much is that He has never embarrassed me because of my sin. He's never pointed out in front of somebody else, you know what they did? The Lord is so gracious and so kind and so good. And His love is so securing for us. And He holds us in the palm of His hand. He takes us out of things that we have a deep attraction to that are bad for us. And over a period of time, He will begin to help us step out of those things that would ruin our life because of His great love that pierces through. How many of you have had some darkness in your soul? God comes along and He pierces through and you begin to get it. You begin to see. You begin to come to understand. So this is our theme this morning. And our first point is this. I just want to talk about the wonder of God's love. There's a verse that Jesus is pointing out in a list of verses as he's expounding on the kingdom of God. And he says in Matthew 13, 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." I want to talk about that just for a minute. You see, Jesus is the merchant. And you are the pearl. It doesn't work the other way around. Because not a one of us in here went searching for God and sold out. He came hunting for us. The verse, Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Remember Zacchaeus? We'll get to that in a minute, but let me just say this. You know what a pearl is found in a mollusk or clam or something? In the Levitical law, you're not supposed to eat that stuff. It's detestable. That's what it says. You can, if it doesn't have fins and scales, you're not allowed to eat it. They mess with it. So I think it's really interesting that Jesus, not unlike when He gave that vision to Peter on the roof to come and kill the unclean animals and eat them, that this is a prophetic picture of Jesus coming to, first of all, to something unclean. How many of you were all clean before Jesus found you? How many of you, well, how about this? How many of you were clammed up? Clammed up in your uncleanness, and guess what the Lord's looking at? He's looking at the pearl. He never looks at what you are in the condition. This is what I love about the Lord. He's always thinking of what you're going to become in Him. Always. Always. 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 28 says, "But God chose what is foolish." Just go ahead and look around. "Foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are." He takes somebody like you, no pedigree, no good much. You get in your own way more than anything. How many of you, if it wasn't for the love of the Lord, you'd just really be still just a massive mess? Tell you, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. All the resources that the Lord brings into our life. This verse isn't up here, but so just leave it alone for a second. But Isaiah 55:6-9. We're actually used to verses 8 and 9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, we know that verse, but watch what comes right before it. Seek the Lord while he may be found, verse 6. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. You see, you and I have a tendency to write people off. If they've done something wrong, we're not thinking about restoring them. We're just thinking about, I don't want to be around them. But that's not the wonder of God's love. He always sees the end game. How about just think of your year about 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or last year? And if I mentioned to somebody the other day, if you just show up at City Church every time the doors are open, and for 1 year, and open your heart to everything that God speaks to you, you will see your life transform. The Lord will, because he doesn't see you stuck where you see yourself stuck. He doesn't see that. He sees you restored and beautiful and thriving and prospering. Now, see, I said the word prospering, and the Lord prophetically jumped in there. I don't know who you are, but the job is close by. The Lord's going to give you the job. And so just rest in that. You're going to go right in. The Lord's got don't be discouraged. The Lord has the job for you, and it's going to be good. It's going to work for. It's going to work well for you. Praise the Lord. I wish I knew who it was. But if you've been looking, and if there may be someone who have, the Lord says, I've got your pathway all figured out for you. And that's what love does. Love always is thinking ahead how to bless his children. And he just wants us to be hungry for him and hungry for the things that would move us forward in who he is. And the blessings that he wants to bring and flow through us. So let's go ahead and put up Psalm 139:16, and it says, I love this verse. I just love this verse. This is one of my little favorite verses. Your eyes saw, let's read it together. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. What if you had the experience of sitting down with Jesus, and you're just sitting there with him, and you're talking about, Lord, what did you have in mind when I was in my unformed substance, when I was in the womb? What were the thoughts that you had of me? Did you know he'll give those to you? You might be one of those people that says, yeah, but I've done so much wrong for so long, and it doesn't matter, because the Lord will redeem you into that place that he has for you. He's going to give you the wondrous love that transforms. It's so funny. People who've judged other people have a tendency to close their heart to being transformed themselves. It just works that way. One of the big ways that God starts us off, he says, you want me to work in your heart? I say, yeah. Then says, I'm going to ask you to do something. Oh, good. What is it? I'll do anything, Lord. Forgive that person. Oh, no. You have no idea. You have no idea. You have no idea that you were so unclean and unworthy of anything without my blood covering your life. Would you just pass on what I gave to you? Will you let what I did in you flow out to somebody else? Now we'll start growing. How many of you need that today? Because you will hinder the flow of the growth of your life in the Spirit of God and in the character development of... Because see, you know, so many times, you know, we've talked about this before, so many times people, they get the wrong diagnosis, you know. If I just had the right job, if I just had the right person, if I just had the right... And the Lord says, no, 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 the diagnosis is all wrong. If you were just the right person, I'm going to make you the right person so that you can fulfill the job I give you. I'm going to make you the right person so I can bring the person into your life so you won't destroy them. I want to work in your life, right? Everybody, just say amen and don't say oh my. Just go ahead and say amen. So you're sitting down with the Lord and he starts to tell you the unique giftings that you have and how he's developing them and to face those things. And he's doing something in me. I'm just going to step way out here. How many of you have ever had a thought come in your head toward a stranger in public that you felt was from God and you already felt awkward to begin with? I'm going to get over that. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm getting over that. I want to obey Jesus to be a blessing to people. And this is the journey I'm on, that his love doesn't end with me. So I'm pretty much walking in a state of repentance pretty regular. I'm sorry I didn't step out there, Lord, you know. Go ahead and tell somebody next to you, I want everything that Jesus wants in my life, whether you know it or not. Is that true? You know, I've run across this concept. It's really difficult to totally surrender. But you can, in every moment of the day, do the next thing that you believe Jesus would want you to do. How many of you have found that you give him the reins of your life and then you look down your hands and you got them and your reins are back in your hands again? What happened there? And sometimes just in worship, you hand over the control of your life. Say, I'm giving it to you again, Lord. I've had this stuff sneak up on me and all these worries and cares came on me and I thought I had to pull this all off. And I'm acting like an orphan again instead of a son and daughter of the living God who's got his eye on me like his eye is on the sparrow. What am I doing over here, Jesus? Is that right? And so God wants to show us the wonder of his love. And he wants you and I to participate in the flow of the wonder of his love toward people. Let's go ahead and jump into, I have other stuff here, but I'm going to go to number two. Number two is the way. First one is the wonder of God's love. This is the way of God's love. This is good quick, but there are people, I kind of budged into this a little bit ago, but there are people that your heart has given up on, that God's heart has not given up on. In fact, the culture of God's heart is, in his mind, is full redemption. It's not over until the Lord says it's over. And if you've been bruised, we talked about last week, if you've been bruised by somebody and you struggle with forgiving them, and we said, not only listen to what the Lord wants to have for you, but what's going on in their life that caused them to be the way they were, and just commit them to the Lord. Look, there's one thing about forgiving people. People do have to earn trust when they've really blown it really bad. You know, they got to rebuild that, right? Have you been one of those people that really blew it bad and had to rebuild trust? I have. Where you have to develop character and grow into things. But the Lord sees that he's going to give you opportunities for that to develop, for you to make good choices and for things to work out. But here's his heart on the matter. First, 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So the Lord is not, he's not like, I guess the simple way to say this, look back in your life. Some of you, this is really interesting because some of you are new in the faith. And this is all fresh. To hear these things are like, I don't know if I could ever do that, Pastor. Well, this is why you can. Because Jesus' love is going to carry you there. It's not about you trying harder. It's about you surrendering more and letting him work in your life. And everybody that's been around for a long time realizes it's about surrendering afresh to the Lord. How many of you have gone the long route of trying harder and just burn yourself out? And the Lord says, it's not about that. It's about the relationship I want to have with you. I could get into this one really big because most of us, when we have a sense of the assignment that God wants us to do, we run off and do it without him. We have a tendency just to go off. And the Lord says, no, 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 no. I'm asking you to do something that it takes me to do. It's going to take me inside of you to do it. You're not going to be able to do it without me. I'm going to cause something to happen through your life that you can't do. Can I just go ahead and invite you to surrender freshly? Said, Lord, I want to do it your way, and I want to go ahead and invite you to get used to the idea of trusting in the Lord. Maybe you're really new at this, and maybe it's a new fresh thing about saying, but the Lord is not against you. He's for you. There's nobody like, He's not against you. There's nobody like Jesus who is for you. There's nobody like this who wants to cause things to go well for you. It's the adversary and your own, the consequences of your own failures that get in your way. Half the time, we don't even need the devil to shame us. We just do it ourselves. He's just like, hey, they've got it covered. Those Christians are so down on themselves, I can go work on somebody else. But the Lord says, I want to free you from all that. I want to give you, and so, I want to go ahead and say this next verse, Ezekiel 18:23, have I pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord. And not rather that he should turn from his way and live. The Lord doesn't have a heart to destroy a soul. In fact, why did Jesus come and die if he had all that in mind? What he has in mind is redemption for everybody. That's what he has. And if you can get that into your heart, even those that are doing the crazy wrong things, you wonder why, because of the way they're raised and what was put into them, the poisons. Do you realize there's more Christians right now in Iran than ever? It's like in Iran. I didn't even hear anybody respond. In Iran, there's a massive move of the Holy Spirit, and there are millions of Christians coming out of it. They're receiving the Lord underground. It's phenomenal because they know something's not right with this. Something's not right with this. And it's happening everywhere. They're turning to the Lord in droves, and they're because Jesus is good. He's kind, and He's patient, and He's caring. So you don't have to take the world's view on it. Just listen. You know, there's Christian organizations that tally up things, and they do it in secret. You can find their websites and rejoice. Praise the Lord. So in God's heart, there is full restoration. There's a full restoration story for every person, no matter where they are right now. There's a full full restoration story. Aren't you glad God didn't give up with you? Peter, through his eyes, you know, Peter was the one that denied the Lord, and then Jesus won him back by saying, Peter, do you love me? He goes, you know I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. Now the day of Pentecost comes, he says, guess what Peter says? Bird's eye view. Peter goes, above all, this is in 1 Peter 4:8. He says, above all, love one another deeply, for love covers over a multitude of sins. Love covers over a multitude of sins. It's unfortunate that many followers of Jesus have negative thoughts about someone, and consider that discernment. If you go around thinking negative thoughts of people and you call that, you think you're a mature Christian and you have discernment, I would invite you to repent. Because Jesus doesn't walk around with negative things on his mind about you. Real discernment is love-based. Let's say there's somebody walking down the street at night, covered with tattoos, got a big old machete on his side. Looks like he could just look at you with, you know, burn a hole in you just looking at you. And the street lamps are kind of low and you're like wanting to walk around because you're not full of love. But guess who is walking behind you? His mother. And his mother's been praying for him. And she knows just a few more breakthroughs and he'll be a youth pastor that he was called to be. See, love looks at things very differently. Love sees the worth when you don't see the worth. Love sees the value. He love sees the pearl. Somebody say amen. I'm up here standing here. Hallelujah. Let's go to number three. Number three, the work of God's love. Okay, this is for the wonder of God's love, the way of God's love, and now the work of God's love. I'm going to pick an unusual verse. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at this verse. This is Jeremiah 15:19, and it's in the English Standard Version, and I'm going to break it up into the Amplified Version. But let's go ahead and let's read this together. Therefore, says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. Is that good? Now, let's look at this. This is what God spoke to Jeremiah. He says this. Now, the first slide of the Amplified. Therefore, thus says the Lord to Jeremiah, if you repent and give up this mistaken attitude of despair and self-pity, then I will restore to you to a state of inner peace so that you may stand before me as my obedient representative. And if you separate, I love this, if you separate the precious from the worthless. Somebody needs to write this verse down on your piece of paper and memorize this thing. If you separate the precious from the worthless, examining yourself and cleansing your heart from unwarranted doubt concerning my faithfulness. Now, this is the work of love, see. This is the work of love. This is how God gets his character into you. He says, I want to make you a mouthpiece, but there's some stuff you got to do on the inside. You got to separate what's precious from what's worthless, and I want you to cleanse your heart from unwarranted doubt about my faithfulness. Are you there? And you will be my spokesman. Do you want to be a voice for Jesus? You got to know what's precious and get rid of all that worthless stuff. And then the next line, let the people turn to you and learn to value my values, but you must not turn to them with regard to their idolatry and wickedness. Now, see, what God's saying is, I'm going to work in you. I'm going to restore you with my love. I'm going to bring you along. I'm going to work in you. I'm going to give you discernment. You're going to understand what's precious, what's worth. Separate that, and guess what? You're going to become a mouthpiece, and guess what? You're not going to go their way. They're going to come your way. They're coming with you. And so when I looked at all that, and let's just stop for a second. Just praise the Lord with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Let's back up to the front of that thing, the Amplified version. Therefore, says the Lord to Jeremiah, if you repent, let's read it together. If you repent and give up this mistaken attitude of despair and self-pity, then I will restore you to a state of inner peace so that you may stand before me as my obedient representative. And if you separate the precious from the worthless, examining yourself and cleansing your heart from unwarranted doubt concerning my faithfulness, you will become my spokesman. Let the people turn to you and learn to value my values, but you must not turn to them with regard for their idolatry and wickedness. And this morning when I was preparing, I said, Lord, where are we going with this? And the Lord dropped this verse, next verse, Isaiah 58:12. And this is a verse that's been our historic calling. In fact, you can see it was on the wall in our other building. And we have that piece of artwork that it was on in the office in here. Isaiah 58:12 says this, and your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of streets to dwell in. And when the Holy Spirit gave me the verse, he had one thing on his mind, and it's the word breach. And a breach is a place, it's got an interesting definition, but it's a break or a rupture. It's a result of something being broken or an infraction or a violation, as if the wall, or it's a gap in a wall, or a gap in a fortification, or a gap in a line of soldiers. It's a breach. Or get this, a severance of friendly relationships. Now here's the, right out of the Blue Letter Bible definition, it says this, the rupture, breach in the wall, a metaphor, get this, taken from besiegers who rush into a city through breaches in the wall in great numbers with great violence. From the same idea is the phrase, to stand in the breach, to repel the enemy, which would be the act of bravest soldiers who would expose their lives to imminent peril. Now, I'm standing there and I'm saying, well, what's all this mean? Lord says, well, where are people broken? What's the breach in your heart? What has been broken open in your life? Where has the enemy made advancements in your soul? The Lord says, I love you so much, I want to work in you and heal the brokenness of your own heart. Jesus came to stand in the gap and heal the breach. And then he comes to you and me and he says, I want to work so in you and to bring about the wholeness on the inside of you and heal the breach inside of you that I can begin to use you in the hearts of other people. How many of you know that's true? Let's praise him for just for a minute because the Holy Spirit, go ahead and put on the, I just want to kind of massage into here. There is a verse in Isaiah 30 that says in verse 13, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall. The Lord's saying sin will come as a breach in your life and bringing, it says bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. That sin can work a brokenness or bulge out or break through, break a heart. How many of you have experienced just bad stuff with sin breaking your life up? And the Lord's saying, I want to heal you. I want to repair the breach. I want to cause there to come in your life. I want to make you a spokesman. Let's go put the next slide. The work of God's love through our lives is to be a spokesman for Jesus and to partner with him to repair the breach in the human heart. So the real, in the last slide, this is the sum up the whole thing. His kingdom is advanced when his love pierces through your darkness and then shines through you to pierce through the darkness of another's heart. So the real call is that when your life is pierced through with the love of Jesus and he begins to mend what's broken in your soul, then you become the light bearer. And the way you live, and you become a spokesman for the Lord, and the way you communicate, and the values, and now you're not going out into the world to look for what the world has. You're walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the ways of the Lord. You understand the value and the wonders of His love. You know the way of His love, that He's going to see you, a person all the way to the end. I want us to do this right now. Would you lift your heads, close your eyes, if you wouldn't mind. And this is not going to be hard, but I ask that the Lord would give you the person that you've had the most difficulty with in your heart. And I want us to place them in the Lord's hands and ask God to fulfill His purpose in that person's life. Because they were broken into and they have been breached. And the brokenness of their soul and the ruinous pathway they've taken in life has happened because they were overwhelmed by the adversary in their life. And now, Lord, we place this person in your hands. Go ahead, place them in your hands. Speak forgiveness over them. Decree over their lives. Say, Father, I just release the power of the blood of Jesus from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. I'm asking, Lord, that you would bring a wholeness, a help. And Lord, I want to ask that as I choose to forgive right now, that any burden that connects me to them or any harm that has happened in my own soul where I have felt breached and broken, that that be released from me and you come into my heart and give me the wholeness that I need right now, that you would work in me, Lord God. Stand in my gap, O God, and come into my heart and repair the breach of my soul, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Open to it. Let him heal you. Let him release the touch. His love comes piercing through and he heals the broken place where you were violated, where you were embarrassed, where you were taken advantage of. Whew. Spirit of God, fall fresh right here. Fall fresh right here. Fall fresh right here. Fall fresh right here. Right here. I just saw another picture, and this is the picture. I saw somebody standing in front of a mirror, and you saw yourself as the unclean clam or unclean mollusk. And the Lord says, the unclean. And the Lord says, I want to now see you begin seeing yourself as the pearl of great value. Because the Lord's looking at the pearl inside your life. He's looking at the real you. Now somebody praise the Lord with me. He's looking at the real you. He says, I'm looking at the highly valued person. I want you to see that person that is you. I want you to see yourself in the mirror as a man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's praise Him. Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Daddy God loves you. Daddy God loves you. He wants to bow you on His knee. Daddy God loves you. He wants to love you, love you, love you. He wants to put His arms around you. Take all that stuff away that's just been so ruinous to your soul. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Right now, we're separating the precious from the worthless. The way you've treated us, Lord, is the precious. The way that we've treated others has not been as precious. It's been more worthless. We want to change that now. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Let's go ahead and stand up, everybody. If you wouldn't mind, just stand. I want to hand it over to my ministry wife here.
Praise the Lord. This is, what a good message, the love of God. Amen. The wonder of God's love. Some of you don't even have a clue of what it is to have God love you. Some of you don't even know that there is a God who does love you. And that can change today. There is no one person on the planet that can ever love you like He will love you. No husband, no wife, no friend, no child can ever fill the place deep inside of you that only He can fill. And you know what I'm talking about because you've tried it with everything from people. Some of you've tried it with drugs. Some of you've tried it with alcohol. Some of you've tried it with sex. You name it. You've done it or tried it. And the way of God's love is to love you in that place where nothing can fill it. Loved one, if you don't know that, you can today. He's here to love you, but you must decide that you're finished with trying to find that love in every other way. Because that love is a jealous love. He's jealous for you. He's the only one that has the right to be jealous. Because He made you and He has such great, great destiny plan for you. Don't leave here today without coming and saying, I need to know this love. Pastor Heather was talking about this love that I don't have in my heart. And some of you have been sitting in the pews for a lot of years and you need to, I wrote it down, you need a start over. Maybe you thought you did, and everything just got all messed up. Life gets messed up. Okay, well, you can start over. Say, Lord, I want to do over. I want to start over today, and I want to know this love way down in here. Because as Pastor talked, the way of God's love and the work of His love, those things can't really be actuated unless you have that part that I just talked about. That's the beginning. So if everything's cool with you and you don't need any of that and you don't need any agreement with anyone, then go have some coffee. It's time for that and you can do that. But those of you who really want to see something shift, then you come up and you stand with somebody and say, I don't know about any of that. I'm even all confused. I just want God new. I want him fresh, and I want to start over, and I want to do it today, and that's it. And let me tell you, the power of God is right up here. I can sense it in the presence. Can you sense it up here? Can you sense the presence of God? I can. Now, I believe he's in the whole building, but I know he's up here for sure. So you come. Don't be afraid. Sometimes we just need someone to agree with us, and we're here to do that. And if everything's great, we love you. Go have fellowship, be with one another, and celebrate. Come now, and have a beautiful day if you're leaving.